Hey everyone, Brian Dinovellis coming to you with another Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. Here we go, episode 3. This one is all about Rutgers. The season tips off in just about 6 weeks. October is right around the corner. And this week, Rutgers held its annual basketball media day. Normally, about a dozen or so reporters, 12 to 15, usually attend this. This year, it doubled. Nearly 30 members of the media, that includes some agents who were in attendance, NBA scouts, not only local members of the media, but national media members. The hype is real. We're going to talk all about Rutgers basketball in a minute. But first, I want to thank our sponsor of the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast, Mike Supa from RE/MAX Revolution Realtors. Mike is a trusted name in real estate, and if you are looking to buy or sell a home down the Jersey Shore, give Mike a call, 201-988-2577. You can also reach him by email, msupasells@gmail.com. msupasells@gmail.com, and tell them Brian sent you from the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. All right, so let's begin. This media day was unlike any other at Rutgers, like I said before. They brought every player out one by one, and the horde around Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper were three media members deep. Like I said, I counted 26 members of the media around Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper. Everyone wants to talk to these guys. Everyone wants to hear what they have to say. These are not your normal 18-year-olds. The only other person that I can recall at 18 years old, for me personally, that had hype like this from national media was LeBron James. And as great as this was, LeBron was 10 times more. And those were the days, if you recall, you could go straight from high school to the NBA, which is what LeBron James did. All right, now you have to go for 1 year and play the game by the rules. LeBron James, there's nothing in my lifetime that I've experienced that compares to that. He was 18 going on 28. It was unreal. Harper and Ace Bailey together are going to be something to behold this year. There's going to be scouts at every game, national media coverage, and of course the local media coverage. It is going to be difficult to get seats. Tickets on the secondary market this year, I am sure scalpers are going to have a feast with Rutgers tickets, okay? Let's talk about on the court. What I saw in 70, 80 minutes of practice, I missed the first 10 minutes when they were doing their dynamic warm-up, all right? What I saw were the two most talented players on the court, okay? Let's begin with Dylan Harper. He's a lefty, which gives him an advantage. He's 6'6". Which automatically gives him advantage over a lot of the majority of college point guards. But he can go either way equally well. He's comfortable going to his right, comfortable going to his left, comfortable shooting off the dribble going to his right, comfortable shooting off the dribble going to his left. He can come off screens right and left, pull up. He can hit the three. His best attribute by far, and everyone says it, and you can see it, is his court vision. Superior court vision. Pinpoint passes. He is going to draw defenses to him, and he will have to make very mature decisions for an 18-year-old going up against 22, 23, 24, maybe 25-year-old men. This is a practice. It's a microcosm. But you can tell, he's the complete package. I asked Steve Peichel afterward in the press conference how comfortable he is handing the ball to an 18-year-old, giving the car keys to an 18-year-old, even though he's as good as advertised. Here's what he had to say.
How challenging is it in this era of college basketball to give the point guard duties to an incoming freshman? And how confident are you in his abilities late in the game?
Yeah, I mean, he's the number one point guard in the country. So given the basketball to him, it's kind of an easy decision. But Jay Mike, too, will play alongside him. He's, you know, veteran guy. I'm excited, and he's a late game guy. I don't know if you were here for the state championship and stuff. He's a winner, and he's not afraid of the moment. And yeah, he loves basketball. Like, I love that part of him. He loves it. I mean, he watches it. He watches film. He's, you know, he really does an unbelievable job, you know, with that. But I can move him around too. That's what I like. I mean, his size gives you some tremendous versatility, and we can post him up as a big guard. We can move him off the ball. We can do a lot of things with him. So, but very confident in that position.
Yeah. When Pikul says he's the number one point guard in the country, why wouldn't I give him the ball? Why wouldn't I trust him? It kind of makes me feel silly for asking that question, but I still think it was legitimate because it's a different era. This isn't the Fab Five, and you're handing the ball to Jalen Rose. All right, you're still giving it to a kid, a young man who hasn't played 1 ounce of college basketball, who doesn't know what it's like to play in the Big Ten, grind night in and night out for 20 games. The good news for Rutgers is that there are multiple ball handlers. All right? You can give it to Tyson Acuff. You can give it to Jeremiah Williams. You can give it to Jamichael Davis. They all can handle the ball. Zach Martini can bring it up. Ace Bailey can bring it up. There are ball handlers and other people who will share in the responsibilities. But I did notice this. Anyone who had the ball, bringing the ball up the court, they gave it to Harper. He handled it in the 10-minute scrimmage that they had 90% of the time. So that leads me to believe he is point guard number one. But you certainly have people who have done it last year at Rutgers, and Jamichael Davis and Jeremiah Williams, who are more than capable. So it is going to be fascinating to see how Harper and Bailey handle expectations and how they, as freshmen, knowing that they're NBA lottery picks, potentially lottery picks, how they handle being on the floor with more experienced players. Do they defer? Are they aggressive? I think they're going to be aggressive, okay? But Harper can set up his teammates as equally well as he can set up his own shot. He is the most college-ready of the two, Harper and Bailey. Bailey is the most NBA-ready. And what do I mean by that? His athleticism is through the roof, okay? He has NBA athleticism right now, but his game is so raw, right? He's always used to being the man. And I'm not saying he won't be the man, but you're amongst many players at Rutgers now who are or have been the men. Tyson Acuff is a fifth-year senior who was top 10 in scoring in the nation at Eastern Michigan, who's a bucket getter, averaged nearly 22 points a game, an excellent three-point shooter, an 81% free throw shooter. Right now, he's hobbled. He broke his foot during summer workouts, and they thought the start of his season was in jeopardy. We talked to him at Media Day, and he's progressing. He's riding the bike. He's doing jumping drills. He's running. Everything's non-contact. He's a few weeks away from rejoining this team, and he said definitively, I will be ready for our opener. So you got to believe him. And there's a guy who's used to having the ball in his hands, making big shots. He came to Rutgers, like a lot of these players did, to play with Bailey and Harper? Because how many times can you say in your basketball careers that you played with two future NBA lottery picks? So Bailey is used to being the man. How will he assimilate with this Rutgers team? It is going to be fascinating. A five-star player who likely would have been the number one pick if he came out last year, this year I should say, could be the number one pick next year. Here's what I see of his game. The best athlete on the team by far. That goes without saying. He has three-point range. We know that. We saw it in high school. But at this level, to be able to take your man off the dribble at 6'9", 6'10", and hit step-back threes, that's impressive. Now, he didn't have one of those show-stopping, jaw-dropping dunks that we've seen on YouTube. But he goes after rebounds at both ends. He can set up teammates as well. He had some really good passes finding open teammates. These are not your normal 18-year-olds. All right? They're very mature. They handled the media very well afterwards. They gave very mature answers. They're well-spoken. They come from great families. They're grounded. However, who's going to be the man in crunch time? When Rutgers needs a bucket, Jeremiah Williams has been in that spot. Tyson Acuff has been in that spot. Ace Bailey has not been in that spot in college. Dylan Harper has not been in that spot in college. But, boy, did he hit huge shots in crunch time for Don Bosco and in the McDonald's All-American game, right? So we know that they've done it. We know that Bailey has done it. But who is going to do it at Rutgers? All right? That is going to be a huge question mark in a tight game. And we'll see. It's up to Pikel to figure it out. However, Bailey is going to be a star in college. You could tell. Harper is going to be a star. Where will they finish this year? Time will tell. But the thing that worries me about Bailey is, and I'm just going to be honest here, there are agents behind the scene, his agents, controlling some of the narrative. So how much does that, it's one thing to control the media and interviews, okay, and have the agents do that. But it's another thing, do they control the narrative on the court too? I don't know. You'd have to be foolish, you'd have to be living under a rock in this era of NIL to not think that there are handlers and players who control the narrative in college, all right? We saw it locally here last year at Seton Hall. Kaderi Richmond was being ground and pound, okay, by Shaheen Holloway. Triple overtime against Creighton, basically walking on one leg, giving his heart and soul out there, and then suddenly comes up with an illness that will forever be known as general soreness, has the coach scratching his head, not sure what's wrong with him. Why? Because he was beat up. He was worried about how it would hurt his NBA stock, or statistically, how it would hurt his statistics and offensive numbers. So suddenly, Kaderi Richmond misses the next two games. And those were games that Seton Hall could have potentially won without their star player. There were people in his ear telling him, you need to shut it down. The days of Bob Knight or John Wooden, or let's bring it back recently, Jay Wright or Mike Krzyzewski calling all the shots, right? Controlling the narrative of their players. Those days are over. the players have all the leverage now. So my point is this. How much leverage will Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper have on the court this year in terms of playing time, starters minutes, overall minutes? How many shots? How many points they average? These are things that could come into play. Steve Peichel is not used to having five-star, blue-chip, McDonald's All-Americans on the same team. One, let alone two. So it is going to be fascinating to see if adversity hits this year. Not if, but when adversity hits, how it's handled. Now, what gives me hope is everything I've seen and read and heard that they're grounded in good families, okay? I don't think Dylan Harper is that type, right? He's following in Ron's footsteps. He's following in Big Brother's footsteps. He wants to create his own legacy here. Ace Bailey, to me, is the wild card. All right? The other thing is going to be how Peichel manages this entire roster. Maybe I'm stating the obvious here, but this is the most talented and deepest Rutgers roster I have ever witnessed. And I've been following Rutgers basketball closely since 1988, 89, 90, those days when they were in the Atlantic 10 and Seton Hall was in the Big East. And I was in New Jersey during those years as a college student, all right? So by far the most talent. Steve Peichel said it is his tallest team lengthwise. You have all of these freshmen. How do they fit in with the two stars and the four graduate players? Jeremiah Williams, Acuff, Zach Martini from Princeton, and PJ Hayes. Jeremiah Williams is a captain for a reason. And Zach Martini from Princeton, over by way of, you know, Gil St. Bernard's, is the other captain. They're going to lead by example and with their voices. They've been through the war. Zach Martini has been to a Sweet 16. I think the freshmen will follow. So you have a blend of these graduates and also somebody like Emmanuel Agboole at center, who is ready to take the reins. Someone like Jamichael Davis, who played a lot and had meaningful minutes as a freshman in some big games. Jordan Durkak was not only the Northeast Conference Player of the Year, but the Northeast Conference Defensive Player of the Year. And freshmen who are going to see time. I think Bryce Dortch is going to see time. I know Lathan Somerville is going to see time. And obviously Harper and Bailey. I don't know about the others. Peichel said he can go 12 deep. No roster goes 12 deep. Maybe in the beginning, but once the Big Ten rolls around, I'd be surprised if this team is more than, you know, 9 deep. I don't think it'll hit double digits. Maybe some games, but most games, I would think there'd be a 9-man rotation. But if there's injuries, if guys go down, there's guys who can come in. So there's depth and length all over the place. Let's talk about center. This is one of the biggest question marks, if not the biggest question mark, for Rutgers. Who replaces Cliff Amore? Who replaces a guy who was penciled in for the last 4 years in that spot? I think in the beginning it will be Agboole. His hands look softer this year. He is chiseled. He's down about 30 pounds. He is active. He's blocking shots on the defensive end. He got up and really blocked a couple of shots during the scrimmage that made my eyes open. At the other end, it's mostly rebounds, putbacks. He's not a guy who's going to be, you know, post you up in the low block and try to, you know, back you down and throw a little jump hook. I didn't see that. But I did see it from Lathan Somerville. He is more skilled right now as a freshman on the offensive end. And this is a dude, let's not forget, who averaged big numbers in high school. All right? Huge numbers. 26 points, 14 rebounds, 4 blocks. I'll say this. When you put up numbers like that, whether it's class 4A, 5A, 3A competition, whatever it is, those are huge numbers. And I saw a guy who was giving up 25 pounds, back down, and actually take it to Ogbole on a couple of possessions and score in the post. He was not afraid of Ogbole. My prediction is this. Ogbole will get the majority of the minutes early on. I think Ogbole will start the season as the starter, but it wouldn't surprise me later in the season if Somerville starts getting the majority of the minutes. Their performance on the court will dictate that. But here's the thing about Rutgers' depth is that you don't have to go with a true center in this day and age because Zach Martini has been playing the five at Rutgers for a couple of years. Don't forget, he's the one that guarded Cliff Amore last year when they met in Trenton. He thrives on this. Zach Martini is not afraid of anyone, no matter what their size is. He's 6'7", 6'8", but plays like he's 6'10". So he can play center, but that center position is going to be a hybrid all year, whether they want to space the floor or they want to have a banger in there. But they're going to need them. They're going to need them both, Ogbole and Somerville. So no matter what happens, I don't think necessarily that Rutgers, you know, needs a, you know, 12-8, 14-6, 14-8 center position because there are scorers all over this team. And if you want to go spread offense with them, Villanova did it very well. Villanova has gone years without having, you know, a true center and done just fine. So that center position is something to keep an eye on, but those are my thoughts there. All right, let's go to the guard position because it's loaded. And some of the transfers, how they fit in. We already talked about Harper. We already talked about Acuff. And when he's healthy, I can't wait to see what he can do. He's not somebody who's just 6'1". He's 6'4". Harper's 6'6". Durkak is 6'6". PJ Hayes is 6'6". You see where I'm going here? They have length in the backcourt. They didn't have that last year and got bullied all over the place. Ask Illinois. That's not going to happen this year. Pyke went out and not only sought seniors, graduate seniors, but guys with length. You know, you're not getting the scrap, you know, 5'10", 6' guard transfers. He went out and got guys right away and got guys with length. So let's talk about the two wing players, Durkak and Hayes, in this guard rotation. Right now, PJ Hayes is the guy who will likely come off the bench first in my mind. If not, see some starting time. Why? Because he's a graduate player. Why? Because he can knock down shots. He did it in the last 2 years at San Diego. And he's done it since he was a Division II player at Black Hills State. He shot 40% last year from three. And what I saw from him in practice was like, wow. He won every wind sprint. He came off screens. He made himself available. He hit more threes in practice than he missed. There was one particular play where Harper drove to his right and kicked it back to his left. True defenders, and Hayes was wide open. You're going to see that a lot this year. If PJ Hayes can knock down those open shots, look out. Rutgers didn't have that last year. They haven't had it since Cam Spencer. Now, I'm not making PJ Hayes out to be Cam Spencer, but the comparisons are going to be there. Right now, I would compare him more to a player who played at UConn 2 years ago, who also transferred from the West Coast, from the state of California, in Joey Calcaterra at UConn. He came in 2 years ago, and they called him Joey California. He was playing with stars. He was playing with guys who could create his own shot and draw defenses just like this, and basically came off the bench. Your job is to hit threes. Your job is to hit open shots wherever they are. PJ Hayes is going to get the first crack at doing that. But Jordan Durkak is no slouch either, because he did that, albeit at a much lower level at Merrimack. We're going to see how he fares in the Big Ten, but I'm not betting against Durkak. Why? Because he's hard-nosed, he's a Jersey kid, he's tough, and he plays defense. You don't become the defensive player of the year in your conference without playing defense. So here's my analysis. Durkak can hit threes as well. I think Durkak will earn his minutes defensively at first, whereas Hayes will earn his minutes offensively. I think Hayes is an X factor immediately. So I really liked what I saw from those two, more so Hayes, because I was watching more on the offensive end than I was Durkak's defense. But in all of this talk about the guards, where do Jeremiah Williams and Jamichael Davis fall in? Let's start with Davis first. All right. He earned his time last year as a tough, hard-nosed defender, a guy who was just everywhere. He was everywhere defensively. He speeds up the game when he's on the floor. Rutgers is at a different pace with him, really likes to run that offense, is comfortable running the offense. My worry with him is his shot. I think the other players, especially Williams, and of course Harper, they can get their shots off more easily than Davis can, although Davis can create his own shot. His jump shot needs to be more consistent. But when you have guys who can make plays at both ends, they're going to see playing time. How does Steve Peichel fit the pieces of the puzzle? How does he get Harper and Williams and Acuff and Jamichael Davis, all lead guards in their own way, they've all done it, how does he get them the ball and on the court? How does he mix and match them? I think in the beginning, to me, it would be Harper and Williams in the backcourt. Done. When I spoke to Jeremiah Williams, he said he's very comfortable on the ball and off the ball. As a matter of fact, let's go to that interview right now. This was my interview following practice and media day, one-on-one with Jeremiah Williams. At Rutgers media day, had a chance to talk to Jeremiah Williams, the captain of Rutgers, along with Zach Martini. A spirited practice today, Jeremiah, and thank you for coming on the podcast and talking to me.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
So when I say Captain Jeremiah Williams, what does that mean to you?
It means a lot. I mean, and, you know, very small terms, simpler terms. I mean, I'm the captain of a Rutgers men's basketball team in a Big Ten program. So, I mean, you know, that comes with tremendous pride. And, I mean, you know, we're trying to do some special things this year. So, you know, with me kind of being the captain of that, one of the leaders of that, you know, it means a lot to me.
Why do you think you were chosen?
Of course, with me being one of the returners, one of the very few returners. And then, I mean, my whole life I've been a leader, very communicative, you know, try to lead by example, do things the right way. And I think with me being one of the older guys and upholding that that responsibility, I think it was only the right choice.
So I was reading that you stayed here over the summer, all summer long. You were on campus. You didn't go back home to Chicago. That is the mark of a leader, being here by example.
Yes.
What made you choose to stay here, and what did you make of being here?
Yeah, I mean, for me, to be honest, it was a very easy decision. I mean, aside of not seeing family members, my little sister at home, and my mother and my dad, I mean, and my grandparents, I mean, this is a place to get better. You know, they provide food for us. You know, there's housing here. You know, there's facilities to rehab and, you know, stay healthy. I mean, it was a very simple decision for me.
Not so bad.
Yeah, not so bad. I mean, exactly. So, you know, this is a place I wanted to be. I want to continue to get better. And I like New Jersey, so it was good to stay here. I mean, Chicago, it's a beautiful city, beautiful place to be at, but not so much where I am. So.
New Jersey's not so bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, you're talking to a guy who grew up in Connecticut.
Yes.
And, you know, we hear things about Jersey, or we drive through New Jersey and we see the turnpike. But what do you like being in New Jersey? What do you like most?
Yeah, it's, especially the Rutgers campus and the community is very inclusive. And, you know, I like to use the word versatile, especially in the food area.
Okay.
There's a lot of different food places. There's a lot of different people. And I think the community of New Brunswick and Piscataway is very welcoming. So, you know, I like to be here. I like to, you know, I live off campus, so I'm able to, you know, just enjoy my time and, you know, come in and out the facility. So, you know, I enjoy a lot of it. And then New York is, if I do need to go somewhere where it's flashy and it's big or in nice little restaurants, and New York's right up the street. So it's a good place to be.
All right, million-dollar question then. You have Chicago deep dish pizza, and you have, you know, Brooklyn-style thin crust brick oven pizza here that New Jersey is known for.
Yes.
Who has the better pizza?
Believe it or not, I'm here to debunk the deep dish Chicago myth. I hear it a lot, all the time. But I probably only had deep dish pizza about two or three times.
Okay.
So I guess I got to give it to Brooklyn, New York. But I do love Chicago pizza. And if there's any New Brunswick or Piscataway pizza places I need to try, shoot them at me because I'm looking for some.
All right. Listen, there's a lot in this area. There's no doubt about it.
Yes.
You know, even if you go out to Somerset County a little bit. So.
Yeah.
Lots of options, which is good.
To, yes,
you know, you can just walk down the street and you're bumping into a pizzeria around here, you know?
Exactly.
All right, so let's bring it back to on the court, all right? When you see the team assembled here, all right, there's so much hype about Rutgers, the expectations, and a lot of that has to do with two McDonald's All-American freshmen. What do you make of that, and how are you handling the expectations on this team?
Yeah, I mean, how I'm handling that, I mean, the expectations, I feel like expectations are more for outside people, you know. And here, we try to just come in, do our work. Of course, we are aware of the high standards and the high expectations that people have for us this year, but we just want to come out and execute and play for each other and do the best we can for each other. So,
what expectations do you guys have? I mean, do you have Final Four aspirations?
Of course. I mean, I think a lot of people do, and, you know, that's whatever. But, of course, first off, personally, and of course throughout the team, we want to win the Big Ten outright, and then we want to handle our business in the tournament. And then once the NCAA tournament comes around, of course we have very high hopes and goals for that time around the year. So, you know, we keep it very in-house, and I think we keep a workers' mentality. We come in, we compete every day, and we uphold each other and keep the energy pretty high. So I think that's pretty important for us.
So let's talk about the freshmen in particular. You know, Dylan and Ace. You see them every day. I saw them in one practice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I see Ace Bailey make a step back, 20-footer, throw, you know, a pass to you underneath for a reverse layup. Mm-hmm. I see Harper going left and right equally well, you know, finishing at the rim, step back three, kick it to an open shooter. That's one practice. What can you tell me about what you see every day in
those
two?
Yeah, I mean, Ace is a freak of nature, whether it's shot-making ability, playmaking ability, athleticism at 6'9", 6'10", however tall he is. So, I mean, you see things some days and you just, all you can do is say, wow, and just run back on defense or, you know, start the offense. And then Dylan is exceptional with his maturity. He's a bigger guard, so he gets a lot of looks that smaller guards won't get as looks. And then his shot-making ability going downhill is really good. And, you know, he's coming off of an injury that he was sidelined the whole summer, so he hasn't really caught his full rhythm, but it's been good how assertive he's been coming in, you know. So, you know, they've been impressive.
You could see him going downhill and comfortable, yes, left or right. So when you say Ace Bailey, freak of nature, have you ever played with someone like him?
No, not with everything he has. Usually you see a guy like that, and all he can do is be athletic and jump and block shots. But, I mean, he has a lot of creativity. He's a young guy. He plays with a lot of energy and a lot of excitement and a lot of fun, which is, you know, I feel like that's one of the keys to basketball. It's still a game at the end of the day, which allows him to be the person he is, the shot maker he is, and the athletic freak he is. So, I mean, no, I've never played with anyone like Ace Bailey.
Well said, right? Some guy who can jump through the roof and dunk, but he can't shoot. Or some guy who can shoot and can't get to the rim like him.
Exactly.
Rutgers fans are going to be impressed with this team how this year? What are they going to be most impressed with this team?
I think most impressed with just how we compete and play for each other. At the end of the day, Rutgers defense travels. A lot of people may expect that to fall off, but I mean, we compete, we're going to run the floor, we're going to play hard for each other, and I think our competitiveness is just really going to show, and I think, you know, it's going to be a lot to deal with.
You could see you're competing in practice.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, the two teams going at it, I know they coach split it up today, but how deep can this team go?
I mean, as deep as we want to. I mean, there's a lot of things that need to happen throughout the year for us to accomplish the goals we want to accomplish, and, you know, but sky's the limit. I mean, we got an awful lot of length on this team, a lot of leadership, shooting ability, defense ability, smarts. You know, we got a lot on this team, so I think sky's the limit, and, you know, we're going to go as far as we want to go.
Yeah, when you have a 6'6 point guard in Harper, a 6'4 point guard in you, Zach Martini at 6'6, 6'7 can bring the ball up. Ace Bailey at 6'9, 6'10 can bring the ball up. A lot of ball handlers on this team with size. What about the fact that you had the ball in your hands last year, and now sometimes you may have to give it up to Dylan or to Jermichael or someone else? Is it okay that there's no lead guard, per se?
I mean, that's perfect. I think it's an issue for the other team that they need to worry about. I can play in space. I can play with the ball in my hands without my hand. J-Mike can do the same thing as well as Dylan. So,
and we've got Tyson, too, who's sidelined right now.
He's been sidelined
right?
the whole summer, exactly. So I think that's an issue for the rest of the Big Ten to worry about, not us.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a good issue to have.
Yes, exactly.
So at the end of the day, when the dust settles, what would be a successful season for Rutgers?
It depends on how you define success, but the goals I kind of mentioned earlier, to me, I mean, that's successful. I mean, when was the last time Rutgers won a Big Ten championship, especially outright during the season, or when was the last time they won the tournament championship, or even reached, you know, last time was the 70s team since they reached, what, Final Four?
In the Big Ten?
Yeah,
never.
Exactly.
Never. So. A-10 championship, I guess we'd have to look up at the banners. They didn't win a Big East championship, so I'm guessing we have to go back to 90-91. For an A-10 championship, and I think that was the year that it happened.
Exactly. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways we can, you know, bring this program back to success, and you know, and that's the path we're on. So, you know, it's a number of different things.
Well, I wish you a lot of success this year. Rutgers basketball is going to have a bullseye on your back. Are you ready for that bullseye?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Yes.
You were this is a season that is going to be like none other at Rutgers.
Exactly. I think this is the position you want to be in. I mean, it's always cool to be one of those teams that come from behind, but I think one of those teams, if you start at the top and you can maintain that shows a lot about, you know, the team and the group of guys you have. So hopefully, you know, we start at the top and we stay there.
Jeremiah, I could see in our conversation here, I just met you, and I could see why you're a captain, why you're a leader of this team, a leader of a very talented Rutgers team. You gave a lot of very mature answers, and I think your leadership can, along with Zach and the talent on this team, can hopefully carry you a long way, and you guys reach your goals this year. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the time.
Thank you, boss. Have a good one.
What's not to like about Jeremiah Williams? He led the Scarlet Knights in scoring last year, had to sit out two-thirds of the season for an NCAA gambling violation, and then wasn't sure if he would get eligibility last year, might have had to sit out the whole season, had a court injunction, and then at the last minute plays 12 games and did very well. Led the team in scoring when he was out there at 12 points a game last year. Hit some big, big shots. Also had 34 assists, nearly 2 assists a game, but really made his mark creating off the dribble and had a huge game at Wisconsin. So Loved his answers, loved his attitude, love his leadership, deserves to be captain. Team guy first, whatever it takes. All right, you want me to bring the ball up? I'll bring it up. You want me to give it to Harper? Fine. You want me to give it to Acuff? Fine. I think it'll be Harper and Williams starting when you see them at the scrimmage, when you see them scrimmaging St. John's. I think it'll begin the year with them. I also think Ace Bailey will start. I also think Zach Martini will start. And I also think Ogbole. That, to me, that's how I would start the season. Now, could they start Acuff if he is healthy and well? Sure. But I think he's the first guard off the bench, along with Jamichael Davis. Like I said, there's depth. This team, certainly in the beginning, until Steve Peichel finds his rotation, this team is going to be deep. They're going to be talented. They'll go 10, maybe 11 deep in the beginning. They're going to get their minutes and they're going to get their opportunities to play. And I didn't see enough of Bryce Dortch. I want to be fair. I didn't see enough of guys like Bryce Dortch and Dylan Grant who are out there. So I can't really judge them based off of my eyes yet. But they're going to see some time at some point, and we'll see if they earn their time. This is a season unlike any other at Rutgers. How do they deal with expectations? How do they deal with adversity? How do they deal with having their two best players be freshmen? How does Steve Peichel handle all this talent when he's never had this much at this level? It's exciting. I really think that this team can win 10, 11 games in the Big Ten. I think their ceiling, let's be real, I think their ceiling is, I'll put it at 13-7. That would be remarkable. I'm going to more or less put them at 11-9, 10-10. I'll go 11-9. But their floor could be 8-12. And that would be a huge disappointment. Do I think they'll be a top 25 preseason team? No. They'll get votes and they'll be somewhere in the top 30, 32, top 28, somewhere top 30, just outside the top 25. And with this schedule, if they could ever, ever start the season, right? You've got Wagner, St. Peter's, Monmouth, Merrimack, Kennesaw State. 5-0 has to be, will be, before they go out to Vegas. Then, I love this, they get Notre Dame first. They're not opening with Houston. They're not opening with Alabama. They're opening with Notre Dame, and that's big. Because you want to get acclimated to the atmosphere, you want to get acclimated to Vegas, and the fact that they play Notre Dame first, the far weakest of the three, is great. If they're 6-0 going into that game against Alabama, you're going to be talking about two top 25 teams, and maybe, just maybe, Alabama's number one at that time. It would be one of the biggest games in Rutgers history, certainly in recent memory, all right? Certainly of the Steve Peichel era. Get to 6-0 and this team's going to be ranked. And then they have Houston, and then it's just brutal, right? Then they break for the Big Ten at Ohio State, where they've never won, home to Penn State, which is sometimes tricky, very tricky, as you know, and then Seton Hall rivalry game in Piscataway, and then Princeton, which I can't wait for that game, in the Never Forget Tribute Classic, noon tip-off at the Prudential Center, December 21st. Get 8,000 fans there. Saturday before Christmas. Get your Christmas shopping done before then. Okay, Rutgers fans? You know what? Sell out that bowl. Sell out 10,000 fans. why not sell out that lower bowl at the Prudential Center and make it Jersey Mike's North? Let's see you do that. Anything less than 8,000 is inexcusable for the state university. I want to sell out 10,000, but anything less than 8 would be a huge disappointment. Especially coming off that Seton Hall game if they win that game. We know they'll be favored. All right, so there is so much excitement about this team. I can't wait to see how it all comes together. I do think they'll get to the NCAA tournament. I think they'll win at least a game. I don't know if they'll be a second weekend team, but that's the goal. Get to the Sweet 16. Become a second weekend team in the NCAA tournament. Rutgers has not been to the Sweet 16 since 1979. It has been way too long. And they've only made it one other time before that, and that, of course, was the great Phil Sellers and Eddie Jordan team, Hollis Copeland, in 1976 that went to the Final Four. Twice, that's all that's happened. And if Steve Peichel gets them there again, history will be made once again. This team's goal should be top four finish in the Big Ten, Sweet 16. That's, to me, that would be a great year. But they have Final Four aspirations too. I'm not going that far. But at Media Day, they did not shy away from saying, we want to be a Final Four team. Those are the goals. They can talk that way, but they know it's a long ways to go before they get there, before that opportunity arises. So I'm looking forward to this season. A lot of college basketball fans, not only in New Jersey, but in the Big Ten and around the country, are looking forward to this season. It is going to be, one way or another, a season unlike any other on the banks of the old Raritan. The season tips off against Wagner right around the corner, Wednesday, November 6th. Thanks for listening to the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast, everyone. My name is Brian DeNovellis. Keep downloading it. Keep sharing it. Subscribe to us wherever you get podcasts, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get it. I really do appreciate your listenership and your loyalty. Let's keep growing this thing together. Until next time, keep counting the days. We're getting closer. So long.